こんにちは、インターネット毎日のザイトガイストでーす。
Oh, my bad. I forgot what show I was on. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 9, episode 5 of the Daily Zeitgeist for December 8th? Yeah, let's call it the 8th, 2017. My name is Miles Gray, aka Miles Teller of Truths, aka the Benghazi Prophet, aka Miles Don't Lie to the FBI, and I'm joined by our co-host today, our guest co-host, Lacey Mosley.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's Lacey, aka Diva Lacey, aka I will tell the truth to the FBI.
There you go. I like that. And again, yeah, Jack is on a little bit of a baby moon, so he's not in the building, so you know what it is. It's time for the real show to happen.
Very black.
Exactly. We're so black, guys. It's the blackout. It's a black album. And joining us today, in our very special guest spot, a very talented stand-up comedian, Philly's own Broad Street bullying victim, Blake Wexler. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. And also for everybody who wanted to know, Anna was not fired. That was a terrible joke. And I don't want anybody to worry because Anna is definitely in the building and will continue to be. So rest assured, we got that one going. So anyway, Blake, I want to thank you so much for coming through. Can you tell us a little bit about you in terms of your Google search history? What's something you searched that is going to let people know? What is up with Blake Wexler?
Actually, yeah, this is a pretty all-encompassing search. My last weird search, we were actually talking about this a few minutes ago, but it was Clubfoot Institute was the last one where I've been trying to, Miles is wearing this awesome Lakers hoodie, and I've been trying to find the Sixers equivalent of that. And everywhere.
Hey, and also, P.S., the Lakers beat the Sixers last night, 104-107. Thank you to a nearly buzzer-beating three-pointer by our boy B. Ingram. Anyway, sorry, just had to throw that out there because we're not as good of a team.
Of course.
I have to have it because the Lakers are terrible.
right.
And anytime I have to gloat in that, I will. But anyway, I'm sorry. Go on.
I was about to go on Alonzo tirade. I'm like, oh, I can't do that. That ended nicely.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I was looking for that hoodie and then, it sold out everywhere. So for the past 4 weeks, I've been direct messaging NBA store on Twitter, direct messaging, Nike on Twitter, and they've stopped responding. And like, corporate Twitter accounts respond to everything.
Yeah, absolutely.
And they've stopped responding to me. And then I went into the 11th page of a Google search trying to find it because it's sold out everywhere. And I found it on a place called the clubfootinstitute.com, which is not, I don't know what it is, but it's not for selling apparel. But I went and it's like a knockoff Nike website. And I'm like, all right, you can't rationalize, like, you know this is not legitimate. Like, there's no way you can buy this. And then I was, like, looking for it. That's the Google search. I'm like, all right, legitimacy. This is how bad I want this thing. I'm like, can I rationalize buying a hoodie off of a place called clubfootinstitute.com?
When you say Clubfoot Institute, I thought it was, like, a place for people with a club foot.
You would think that because it's called that. But no. Also, club foot is a very, like, you know, like, isn't there a gentler term for that issue at this point?
Yeah, what is
like
technically a club
foot? With your club feet, it's like, Jesus Christ.
Is that someone with half a foot or is that like a prosthetic foot?
I think it's like your foot is like turned the wrong way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You have a bad foot. Like, it's a big foot.
So it's
foot.
Like a deformity.
I think.
Kind.
Yeah, yeah. It's not good. Yeah, it's a bad foot.
It's like your foot is turned in on itself. Like, your foot is giving your other foot, like, a high five, but all the time.
Oh. See, that's sweet. Call it high 5 foot or low 5 foot.
I don't think they have a group yet. They haven't mobilized.
Right.
That's why we don't have any like woke terminology for club people.
Yeah, we're still calling that club foot.
Club is lit though.
It feels bad, like, because you're literally just being like, it should look like a golf club.
It's club that's foot. What it look like.
It's when someone spills a drink on your shoes when you're at the club. It's like, oh, I have club foot now. I have to go home.
That's what happened.
But looked on that website, looked at the return policy, and it said, stop asking us about return policies. Our payments go through numerous international banks. We'll get you a return when we get a chance. I'm like, yeah, can't do it.
Yeah, that doesn't
can't
seem like
it.
A sound purchase.
No, so I'm hoodie-less and out $10,000.
Guys, you'll see in the photo.
Are you DMing them though, like privately?
I've been DMing like the major legitimate brands.
Tweet them publicly.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah, just have your whole conversation on Twitter live. That's what I did to Sears, and that's how I got them to return my air conditioner.
Ooh,
I was
nice.
Just like, Sears is stealing money from poor black kids in college.
Oh, wow. Well played.
Yes.
And they're like, no.
They sent me my money real quick. Yeah. I was like, run me my money.
And a new AC and everything.
Right.
Wow, AC for Lacey. So
well done.
I mean, you know, you could probably also like tweet the 76ers too.
You're like, what's good? I'm a fan. But I think also, too, you probably, you know, you've got followers. You've got a little bit of a follower.
Right. I have the blue check. Yeah.
They're going to be like, whoa, we better take this seriously. Because I remember I straight up asked Uber Eats to like to sponsor me, like shamelessly.
Nice.
I was like, you need to sponsor me. And they DM'd me. And they're like, hey, email us. And then I was like, oh, or they're like, give us your email. And then they were like, oh, wait. Yeah, we don't sponsor people like that. We weren't sure what you were asking. I'm like, damn.
Oh, you have to lie. Like, Reebok sent me 10 pairs of sneakers like a year or two ago.
What?
Really? You just don't be honest. Do not to say a single truth. You're an international podcast which actually I guess you are, but like really pump it up, like 100 million users.
Because I'm new to this podcasting game. Mm-hmm. I'm a relative unknown, so I'm not quite comfortable being like, hey man, you better fucking give me everything for free.
You're not new to LA though.
That's true.
That is an LA thing.
That's an LA thing. Scams.
Yeah, I just do that differently.
That's what we do out here.
You just threaten people and tell people your dad's a lawyer. That's how you do it in LA. That's my dad's a fucking lawyer.
I ain't never told the truth to nobody. Listen, nobody know who I am. I don't know who I am.
And how about this, Blake? Tell us something that is overrated.
Overrated? Oh, I had pugs. Pugs, I think, are overrated.
The dog.
The dog.
I don't know what else I would have
taken. I know, but I was also like, what?
Pubic Uggs?
Pubic Uggs, yeah.
You had multiple pugs?
It collects everything. Actually, just the dog in general, like a dog. I love like scrunch-faced dogs, like bulldogs, and I just think there's a lot of better options. Like, not so much that the pug itself, like, is a bad, sorry, I get very emotional talking about these things.
As do I.
It's very hard, but, I will, persevere. It's hard. So I think that, like, there are a lot better options for scrunch-faced dogs. Like, a pug is fine, but bulldogs are cute. You know, like, there's also, like there's French bulldogs. I think there's other scrunch-faced options.
Wait, so why are you...
Yeah, what was wrong with your pug?
Oh, I didn't have... I just think this is... I've never had a pug. Well,
I guess what's your bias against the pug that you're like, we have other options.
I think they're overhyped. Like, I think that, like, you see pugs not drug shirts, like, walking around. Like, I think bulldogs really need a resurgence. Like, I think because England is so on its way out, people have not been pumping up the English bulldog.
Well, I feel like Frenchies, everybody's got a French bulldog.
Yeah.
Like, one of my best friends, Allie, she has a French bulldog. I feel like our other friend, Nikki, she's got people out here, I feel like Frenchies are in.
Yeah, girls especially. Mm-hmm. Like, the purse dog has gone out. Like, in L.A., like, the cute, like, teacup dogs used to be, like, the fad.
Right.
Yeah. You mean just gross chihuahuas.
Shih tzus and little chihuahuas. And...
Like, breathing bracelets. Like, they're accessories. Yeah.
Okay, what's something that is underrated?
Oh, gluten-free pizza is underrated.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Hallelujah. It's so good.
It is. It's not, but like, I am a huge, I'm a pizza head.
Yeah.
But, my girlfriend has celiacs, and I'm not just saying, she won't listen to this. So I'm not saying this for her. Literally, I'm like, God, I'm going to have to start eating gluten-free pizza. But it is, it's good. Like, it's like a perfect, it's thin crust. You know, there's no difference, I feel like, between a thin crust and like a gluten-free pizza. And you don't feel as bloated afterwards. Like, you could eat a whole
one. What is it, rice flour?
Yeah, that's a common one, like usually rice-based, yeah.
Interesting. I mean, I
thank
remember
you.
That I went on a date with someone who was, I think, also has celiacs.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gluten-free pizza for the first time. And she was vegan. So, we doubled down on, like, to me was an abomination. It was cardboard with, like, witch hair on it.
Italian air.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, this is cool. And I was like, this is not going to work because I need to eat regular pizza. But you're saying it's underrated.
Oh, I'm saying it's underrated. And then if it's, like, a place where I'm like, oh, I really like the dough here, we'll just order a separate.
Right.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Also underrated, Southwest Airlines, a sponsorship. I'm not sponsored. I actually, and by, I'm just
hashtag
like,
branded content.
Yeah. So, the Friendly Skies. I think that's another airline. But yeah, I like flying that. Because it gets like, I feel like people think it's a cheap airline, which it is, but it's also, I like the open seating because if you know where to sit, a lot of travelers don't know. So they'll like fuck up and sit in like, you know, a place like you could get in 30th, 40th on the plane, aisle seat in like an emergency exit row.
Right.
People don't know. So I think that's, and they have like those headrests now where if you curve them, like, you can just place your head, like, you don't even need a neck pillow. Yeah.
I used to travel Southwest a lot when I worked in politics, because I'd fly mostly a lot, like, on the West Coast.
Right.
And the one thing is, like, a lot of people don't realize,
Like certain airports have tricks. Like when you fly into Burbank, sit in the back because you can deplane from the back.
Yes.
And most people want to get in the front or whatever. And like, oh, if I'm in the back, I'm going to get off last. You're going to get off first. You know? So these are little tricks that we learn.
And Southwest lets you change your flight without charging you a fee.
Okay, well, let's stop plugging them. You know, they're not sponsoring the show. We don't even give them the free ad.
Oh, I know. That's the thing that I like about them, if I ever use them.
And the flight attendants, hilarious. So fun. Very funny.
All right, well, let's get into the show. As you guys know, here at the Daily Zeitgeist, you know, we just trying to see what's going on out there. Take that thermometer, put it in the national consciousness and see what comes up. It looks like 98.6 degrees. Maybe we're a little bit hotter right now because there are some things we'll talk about. But yes, that's what we're trying to do. We just want to give you guys a sampling of what we're thinking about, maybe what the rest of the world is thinking about. And usually to start off, we always want our guests to take down a myth, right? Something that is being perpetuated in the media or just the collective conscious of humans across the world and universe that just needs to be debunked. We just need to tell truth on this show. And Blake, I need you to tell us some truth right now. What is your truth?
Well, this is a massive issue sweeping the country.
Right.
And by the way, hopefully this doesn't, you know, make the show too serious, but I have figured out that making your own pizza is actually more expensive than buying it. And that
No.
is, yes, and that is what, I'm sorry to bring it up this early, but you know, why don't we go to break?
No, we need to talk through this. It's cheaper to, you're saying it's cheaper. People think it's cheaper to make your own pizza.
Correct.
But wait, so how much, what are we talking about?
All right, so I'm going to go make like, and make it, I'm not going to go ingredient by ingredient.
Right,
like,
thank you.
It's not probably a cooking show.
Yeah,
no, not good for the list. Yeah, people are just throwing their computers in the ocean. So I've been making deep dish pizzas lately. And
deep dish gluten-free pizza?
I've done that, but let's not even go there.
So while the girlfriend's away.
Right, oh my, yeah.
Gluten will play.
It's a real bachelor party in my kitchen. So basically, like, you know, like as you hit like, you know, late 20s, early 30s, like people start cooking because you know, you become an adult. You want like a hobby. So I started making pizza dough, $3, sauce, probably like if you get like, all right, let's go like $2 to $3. So we're up to like, you know, $8 already.
Yeah.
And so let's say it's a large. Then you have like the meats and stuff if you want to put that on there.
Yeah.
That's another and you do. That's another like probably depending on how much like 6 to 10 maybe. So you're already up to like $14.
Yeah, no,
bucks.
No.
And then also it's depending on how good you are, it probably isn't going to be as good.
No.
You know what I mean?
I mean, unless you have like the best pizzas I've had that were homemade, people have a pizza stone.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's usually like the hack if you're really trying, you're really about that homemade pizza life.
Right, right.
Pizza stone. So, yeah, I'm, you know, it's good to know because if you're already at 14, yo, just hop in your car, go to Little Caesars, get that $5 hot and ready, and you're good.
And labor?
The labor.
No. Yeah. Gas? To bake the fucking
gas,
thing?
The hazardous condition, workman's comp.
Then,
exactly. Yourself.
Chef's comp.
The destroyed self-esteem when the pizza you pull out of the oven just looks like some fucked up, like, flying saucer with tomato sauce
on
it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's when you fuck it up, then it's like the emotional devastation where it's like, I'm nothing. I have no value.
Right.
Like, this is and I'm hungry.
And
worst
and
of all.
In your mind, a pizza is the easiest thing to make. Just flatten a circle of dough out.
Right.
Put the sauce down and put the cheese on top. And then when it comes out, that's the other thing too, is like the first time I ever made a pizza, like the crusts are way bigger than you anticipated.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, that is too much fucking crust.
Yeah, I wouldn't be able to even make a circle. My pizza would be looking like Australia. My pizza would be looking like Africa. it's a cultural pizza, y'all.
Oh, when I came over, I thought you'd do that on purpose.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's what I told you.
Yeah, and you're like, and this
woke pizza.
And this little piece of garlic bread is Madagascar.
Listen,
and I'm like, wow,
it's
we
not
really
burnt,
know.
It's Cajun.
Exactly, my favorite.
Progressive pizza we had.
Yeah,
it's excellent.
Nice. Well, good to know that now.
Yeah,
so for all you people out there, I mean, unless you're buying bulk quantities to make it work for you, sounds like just stick to buying pizza from your corporate overlords, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the lesson here?
Yeah, but not
Thank
Papa
you.
John's.
Not Papa John's, no.
No.
That shit is trash and you will get diabetes from eating it. I don't care what Carl Tart says on Twitter. We had it out earlier.
Was Carl defending it?
Carl Tart was defending it. People who don't know, Carl Tart is hasn't been on the show yet. He will be. Very funny comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I basically was talking about how Papa John's was bullshit. And he was like, how are you going to say that? Name your top places. And I put Little Caesars above Papa John's simply for the fact that the owner's bullshit. He's an idiot. He's problematic.
Yeah.
And the pizza is objectively, the sauce is too sweet.
It's too sweet.
Thank you.
And it's too doughy.
Thank you. Exactly.
The mouthfeel is
Let's just leave it there, because this is not pizza.
They like sneeze peppers into it. You know what I mean? It's just, oh, someone just threw fucking peppers into the box.
The only point I conceded to him was, yes, it comes with a little butter garlic sauce, so your crust don't go to waste. That is one thing I wish other places did, because usually when you eat like fast food pizza, you're just like, and done.
Right.
But anyway, let's get into the news, because we spent so much time talking about pizza, which I love to do. Because there's real stuff happening. So, first of all, there are so many things that happened this week that I'm going to have to just blow through a few stories, and we're just going to get into it. First of all, there was the Supreme Court started hearing arguments about the cake maker in Colorado. I think it was Masterpiece Cakes, because he denied a gay couple the service because he said, well, it's against my religion. This is a will be a pretty big case, because depending on how the Supreme Court decides, we may be like constitutionally protecting discrimination, which could be bad. I'm sure we'll get into that a little later. The GOP rhetoric around Robert Mueller has been spicing up. Like, they're doing their best to paint Robert Mueller as a bad person, and the people that are working on this probe as like very biased, you know, Hillary lovers who were born in Kenya who love Obama. Who knows what the fuck they're trying to say? But look out for that, because it seems like the probe is getting serious. And also this week, you know, we finally passed some gun legislation after all the horrific shootings. But guess what? While it did give us, you know, tighter background checks, it also helped to basically a step towards nationalizing concealed carry permits. So your Texas concealed carry permit, you can go anywhere with your piece now. And that is an NRA wet dream wish list item. So these are things that we all lost. Just sort of in the general kerfuffle, as if I may use that word, of the news. So, guys, keep your eye on that. Now, let's get into the nitty-gritty for a second. On Tuesday, the showdown in Alabama is finally going to happen. Doug Jones and Roy Moore. This is not a boxing match. This is a Senate race. But it's getting very hot. We don't know who is going to win, if the accused pedophile is going to be the next senator from Alabama, or if a guy who literally, you know, prosecuted the KKK and stand-up person will enter the Senate. We are yet to see. Trump is stumping for him. Basically, he's having a rally, I think, today in Pensacola, Florida, which is sort of like a real roundabout way of having a rally in Alabama, because it's like the same media market as the Mobile area. So without having to fully be in Alabama, you're close enough that you're going to get all your Trump supporters from Alabama to show up. And we will see where that goes. And along those lines of Roy Moore, there was an article in the LA Times that came out about, you know, Roy Moore has a very special place in his heart for the time of the antebellum South, as we call, or the time of the Confederacy and slavery. He apparently had a rally that was had a predominantly white audience. There was like one of the few black people that were there, asked him what he felt the greatest time in U.S. history was, and he referenced the antebellum South and said, I think it was great at the time when families were united. Even though we had slavery, they cared for one another. Our families were strong. Our country had a direction.
I mean, it was good times. You know,
black people. Care to comment?
Black people were on those unpaid internships. where we could not leave the premises.
I'm interning for Big Cotton.
I'm interning for Big Cotton. Yeah. The fabric of our lives.
The fabric of our lives. The fabric of this country.
Yes, listen. But I think that's one of the weird things that's been interesting about Trump's presidency, is it really kind of galvanizes all of his base, which are like, you know, racist, horrible people for the most part,
right,
to say things that they never felt comfortable saying, like when Barack Obama was president, or even any president previous who, you know, respected the office. So obviously Roy Moore is not alone here, because HBO was like, oh, we about to put out Confederate, like, it's about to be lit, we got a market for this, we've tested it. So people obviously agree with this.
It's just wild that, like, you could be accused pedophile, he's like said the wildest shit. He said, like, he thinks women are not, like, mentally fit to serve in office. And now you're adding, I think slavery was the best time. How much more fucking, like, as a objectively bad person do you have to be before, like, your polling numbers go down? But we'll see Tuesday. But I guess to me, one thing that I really, that's kind of tragic about this, is that, like, he's using Christianity to sort of obscure his, like, really, like, you know, racist and biased feelings. And he's sort of, he's giving, like, really good Christian people a bad name. I don't think, you know, a lot of people in, like, mainstream media, especially, like, liberal stuff, they want to be like, oh, these Southern Christians are basically racist or whatever. I know plenty of people who are Christians from the South who are legitimately like, yes, I believe in the teachings of Christ insofar as that I believe in treating people fairly. I feel like, you know, I need to be empathetic. And there are many people like that. My grandparents are, you know, they come from the South. They're Christian people, and they're not, you know, they're trying to be good people. And I just feel like it's terrible that he's using this to kind of, you know, put a bad name on other people who actually, you know, are good, upstanding religious people, and not using that as like a defense for, you know, this is why the gays are after us and blah, blah, blah. Like, come on now.
He was also given all of U.S. history. You know, like all of it. And he chose that part. Like
right,
he could have,
right.
And even if he was trying to like appeal to that type of Alabama voter, just be like, yeah, Bear Bryant when he coached Alabama. You know what I mean? Like he could have just said that, but he had to go to slavery. Like there was so many, you know, eras in American history with good family values that he could have picked, but he went to the Confederacy, which is just how just fucked up that pedophile is.
Was it Forrest Gump from Alabama?
Yes.
Bayou LaBattery?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would have even said Forrest Gump.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair to him, there's really no time in history where life was good for black people. So,
true.
You know.
True.
I mean,
true.
Even
he
currently.
Said, we were a little
great.
Hard on him.
He's like
been a little hard
in
on
the
Roy
year
Moore.
40-55, when the entire world has become one unified race. That is my favorite
Pangea.
Time.
Pangea.
That is not now. Yeah, right.
When Pangeo, it's a man.
Returning to Pangea.
Awesome. Okay, cool. So, and one last thing, just to kind of sum up the craziness that's going on. There is a civil rights museum that is opening, I think, in Jackson, Mississippi. And at the opening of the museum will be Donald Trump. And so because of this, Georgia Congressman John Lewis will not be attending because, of course not, you don't want to have a white supremacist who thinks the KKK are good people at the opening of a civil rights museum. Fuck out of here. What do you think was going to happen? And then Sarah Sanders, when they asked her what the White House thought of John Lewis not being there, she says, quote, "We think it's unfortunate that these members of Congress wouldn't join the president in honoring the incredible sacrifice civil rights leaders made to right the injustices in our history. The president hopes others will join him in recognizing that the movement was about removing barriers and unifying Americans of all backgrounds." So let me tell you something, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. John Lewis is literally a civil rights icon. This dude teamed up with Martin Luther the King to, basically march in Selma for the Voting Rights Act, and he got his fucking skull fractured by the state police over it and brought a lot of attention on it. This man has literally spilled blood for the civil rights movement. So I think, please, again, I think we have a big we have a problem with not knowing history.
Facts have never been a big thing in the Republican Party.
No.
Actually reading an article about ideology with Republicans and how it's more based in the fundamental ideologies of the party than it is the actual candidates.
Right.
So even when it comes to like Roy Moore, which is, this is a scary statistic. This is what I was looking up, was like 85% of Democrats believe that he should not be able to run for office, and 54% of Republicans believe that he should not be able to run for office.
Right. It's
so
crazy.
They still have almost half of the base that's like, no, this is fine.
Ugh. Well, hey, you know, because I think some people really, they just don't want to acknowledge that they might be wrong. And I think those people are honestly operating in a reality where the media is lying. They're like, these are lies. They don't even think, because if you even thought there was an ounce of truth to these allegations, there's no way you could be a functioning human and be like, nah.
Actually, New York Magazine did a poll, and 71% of Alabama Republicans think that Roy Moore's allegations are completely made up.
Right, exactly.
Like, they Jesus. Don't care.
Right, because it doesn't matter, because it's not real.
That's how he's still viably in this race, which is insane.
It's like what we look at with people who are like birthers. Where it's like, I don't believe that, because that's something you made
right.
up. I think they're operating.
So that is true. Is that what you're saying?
No. Ooh, good to know. Oh, whoa.
Fake news propaganda
oh, fuck.
Has
oh,
really
ring
worked.
The alarm. Get Blake out of here. We shall see. Again, Tuesday, please get out and vote. If you have any people in Alabama, if you're listening mm-hmm. in Alabama, please go out and vote for Doug Jones. Do not let this man desecrate the Senate even more, because it's already a very weird place. And with that, we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. And we are back. Now, guys, we got a lot of tweets and texts and emails. Well, at least my mom emailed me about the convergence of two very beloved segments on this show, Bloid Watch and Benghazi. In a segment we're calling Bloid Ghazi. Because, look, it has finally come. They have converged because apparently a dozen employees, some current, some former, of American Media Inc., which is the, you know, the company that, like we've said time and again, owns publications like The Inquirer and Us Weekly. They have come forward with allegations against the chief content officer at this company. And so basically he was going around to women at the workplace. He was bragging about his sexual experiences, making women talk about their sex partners, and oftentimes, quote, making them watch or listen to porn while at work. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool, office? But the best thing is that you're going to love is that the person in question, Dylan Howard, who's a chief content officer, he basically wanted everyone in the office to call him by the nickname Dildo.
Okay.
So subtle though.
Yeah, very subtle. So right. Yeah, when your name's Dildo, you know you're probably going to be talking about like Fabergé eggs and like crossword puzzles.
Right. I mean, very highbrow.
Maybe he was trying to normalize his sexual assault. He was like, look, if my name is Dildo, people going to expect right. Like when you in the room with Dildo, you're going to see some dick. Like yeah. Then they can't get mad because you know what you walked into.
Yeah.
You know my name, Dildo.
Yeah, I'm Dildo.
That's true because the judge might even be like, and what did you think when you were in a room with a man named Dildo?
What'd you think was gonna happen? He was gonna respect you?
Yeah,
like,
right.
Come on now.
He's like, yeah, you wanna read some legal opinions from Roy Allred? Like,
Dildo actually paid off my college loans with no strings attached. So he's actually a great guy.
He's a
what's
really
his name?
Nice guy.
His name's Dildo.
His name's
very good
yeah,
guy.
Let me catch
Dildo
that.
Jenkins, and yeah. He's a very kind gentleman.
Ah, old Dildo. So basically, this guy named Dildo, this is not a made up thing. He really thinks that's a cool sounding nickname. Is facing these accusations, and apparently that's not the only reason why this guy is in the news too. There was also an article coming out that connected him with Harvey Weinstein and sort of his, as we know, as the Weinstein sexual enterprise, which is like the great coordinated effort to, you know, intimidate and harass accusers. So him and his position as the content officer, at the Inquirer and these other tabloid magazines, he basically had Harvey Weinstein's back in a lot of this stuff. So, I guess they worked on a show together at one point, and Dildo did help Harvey by getting like what he would do is get exclusive rights to stories that were like negatively affect Harvey Weinstein and then bury them, which is a pretty well known practice in tabloid journalism, which is called catch and kill. So he would find somebody with a story, be like, "Yes, we want the exclusive to this," and then we shelve it, and then it's bye bye.
Wow.
That's interesting.
So that is like, and what's crazy is too. This same tactic was also employed by the Inquirer to help Trump hide an affair too, when there were like allegations of him having like stuff going on with him and Playboy models. So this isn't, I mean, it's not really surprising, because also Joe Scarborough earlier this year, said that Trump was exploiting his friendship with, American Media Inc. to also kind of like lean on him and Mika Brzezinski. From Morning Joe, they were talking real spicy about Donald Trump, and they did not like it. So in an op-ed that Joe Scarborough wrote, he said that White House officials warned him that the National Enquirer was planning an expose about their relationship and urged them to beg Trump to get the paper to back off. So it basically seems like, you know, Harvey Weinstein is using the same friendship as Trump to intimidate his victims. No surprise, right? Because we all know Donald Trump has wild accusations against him, too, that apparently we don't really want to talk about. But guys, if you want to take a bet, what do you think happened to Dildo? You think he still has a job?
I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Unfortunately.
Of course.
Yeah.
Why the fuck wouldn't
right.
he?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they have a quote saying, they said, in the wake of these baseless allegations, he has the full support of AMI and its executives. I mean, dude, the guy's name is Dildo and these are baseless allegations?
What about their journalistic integrity?
Right.
You know, they've worked so hard to build up this, you know, like this look and like their reputation. Now they're going to ruin it.
Right.
This tabloid is going to ruin their pristine reputation.
I'm not going to believe anything they say about JonBenet Ramsey anymore.
I'm done.
Thank you. No, today is the last day. Maybe. All right. It publishes today, right?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Today is the last day.
Yeah.
It is the last
day. And then we'll revisit it Monday.
Exactly. We'll see if they have another.
If I'm checking out at the grocery store and it's looking lit, I might have to
There's
pick
a hot
it up.
Take that, yeah, somehow like Hillary killed JonBenet.
Right.
Is
that's
right.
Take, yeah.
That's
yeah. With her emails.
Mm-hmm.
That's what right. I need to know.
She did
that's
a Benghazi right. on her. So, to continue actually Benghazi, traditionally, I've got to bring up that Arizona Congressman Trent Franks, like, suddenly resigned yesterday, like, out of nowhere, which is very strange because apparently he was discussing, the idea of surrogacy with two of his staffers. But that's all we know is that he said he discussed surrogacy with some staffers, possibly them being surrogates for his family. But it's weird that suddenly before we even know about that, he just straight up said, hey, I'm going to get ahead of this. I'm going to resign because
right.
I don't want the media to do anything. And You know that has to be some crazy shit. Like, if the media hasn't even heard about it yet, he must know that it could be so bad that he's like, before they even try and, like, blow the story up, I'm just going to dead it and resign. Like,
I'm just quit my career right now, so.
Well, right.
Well, the idea, like, is like, oh, over surrogacy? Like, I can imagine if at first I thought he was just talking about the idea of surrogacy or the process of it. But I guess if you're then telling your, like, staffers, you're like, you look fertile, and would you like to carry our family's seed? That's fucking weird and inappropriate. But I feel like it has to be something even more intense than that. And this is, again, wild speculation. But it's weird. Like, I feel like if, like, Trump wanted to get ahead of the, you know, grab him by the pussy tape, he would, like, just so you know, a tape might come out where I'm talking about alternative greeting methods and blah, blah, blah.
But my name used to be Pussy Grabber around the office.
So. Right, exactly.
So it's fine.
I can't imagine what that was about. But also to continue, I don't know, did you have something to say?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, I hope, like, because it has been happening quicker where these people have been, like, kicked out of their jobs, other, you know, offices where obviously, you know, the quote-unquote scary thing would be like, oh, what if they're innocent? But it's like, well, let's, you know, like, let's visit that, like, a little bit later. You know, like, I think hopefully this is a good thing about society is that these people, like, people are taking actions against, you know, like, these sexual predators. Like, you know, Lauer was gone immediately. We didn't know anything about, like, there was.
That was because everybody
NBC
was
knew
culpable
for a minute.
As
right,
fuck.
Right. That's true.
That,
that's true.
He had a little rape machine under his desk. Like,
right. They door. Poured water on the rape machine and it steam poured out of it. But hopefully these predators are being kicked out quicker, you know, than like the long arduous process that's going on with
and
our president.
Who knows if that's Paul Ryan trying to be like, hey, look, we're holding people accountable too, or if maybe this is like really vile. I don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's gotta we don't know. Be bad. And it's one of those that it's probably the blowback affects more people than just him. So it's like they had to get him out quietly so that he didn't just blow up a whole like.
I think also like to go along with that is that, you know, it's clear now that the Democrats are trying to establish themselves as a party that's taking women seriously and their accusations seriously. So if they sniff any kind of fuckery, you're done. But it's clear, too, to most people what the GOP is going on about because you got a president who has many accusations against him and a Senate candidate who is an accused pedophile. And they're like, well, let's let the people of Alabama decide. That's a cop out. So anyway, to continue with that, too. I don't want people to lose track of the fact that Trump also has many weird stories and allegations about it, but for whatever reason, the media doesn't want to really hold his feet to the fire like they do many of these other people. I don't want it to be nebulous and abstract because it's very easy to lose sight of things with how quickly the news cycle ends. This woman, Rachel Crooks, last year during the campaign came out to talk about interactions she had with Donald Trump in 2005 that were very creepy. And I think we have her telling this tale.
So I knew he was a partner of, you know, ours, so I wanted to introduce myself. I shook his hand, and he gave me a kiss on each cheek, which was normal, but he held on to my hand, and he continued to kiss my cheeks over and over again as he sort of inserted small talk. You know, he asked me where I was from, if I was a model, told me he had his own modeling agency, but he kept repeatedly kissing me, and then finally he kissed me on the lips.
Unwanted, forcibly kissing you on the lips.
Definitely.
Yeah, who wants fucking Donald Trump to kiss him on the lips?
Ooh. No.
Not even fucking Melania Trump wants to be kissed on the lips. Anyway,
first and foremost does not.
Yeah, that is just a fucking weird, like, small talk between kissing, like, on the cheek. Anyway, is the weather nice? What kind of perfume are you? It's the weirdest. Just hearing her describe it, it makes my fucking skin crawl.
It sounds like a football tactic. It sounds like you go left, then you go right, then you go left, then you go right, then you go down the middle,
down the middle.
Which is least expected.
Right.
You know how ugly men gotta kiss people.
It's called the rapist juke, I think is what it is.
Right.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Disgusting.
Yeah, it's what's crazy too is that they recently interviewed her too and people said in this whole groundswell of women coming forward and holding men accountable for these, you know, sexual assaults or harassment, they asked her if she felt forgotten. She said yes. And it's true, like, yeah, we really need to keep reminding people too that the person who's holding the highest office also has these kinds of allegations against him. I mean, granted, look, yeah, Al Franken was forcibly kissing a woman and they were like, okay, that's dead. You're gone. I just feel like we have to have some kind of standard because like we're slowly losing grip of reality. And it's easy to like kind of to lose track of that, like with all the shit that comes out in every kind of news that comes out.
Also, like, the kiss greeting in general, like, I think should go. Like, I think it's rarely warranted. Like, I'm sure, like, obviously you, like, cause it's always the guy doing it to the girl. You know what I mean? And it's just, I feel like that's almost never welcomed. And it's not like, I'm sure there's certain cultures where that's like a standard, you know, like, greeting. But in general, I feel like men take advantage of that, where it's like, no, you're not greeting someone. You're using this as an excuse to kiss a woman against, like, what she would want.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always a firm, semi-moist kiss on the cheek. Oof. And it happens very, very often. At least, you know, 3 or 4 times a month.
Jesus.
no, that's a lot.
You hanging out with a lot of people who studied abroad and just got home?
I'll be on sets and stuff. And especially with older men, like, they'll hug you and they give you a firm planted kiss on your cheek and do it multiple times. Even I'm like, I just saw your ass.
Yeah.
I just saw you at Crafty, nigga. When you coming over here kissing me again?
Like, just put, like, habanero extract on your cheeks. And like, oh, yeah, you like that?
Yeah. There's actually been articles about even, like, hugging in the workplace that have come out, where women are like, great, we can take hugging in the workplace off the table. If we're not friends, if I don't want to... And you can tell when people don't want to hug your ass, when you bring your arms out and they don't return the arms, you better make it a high five real quick.
Yeah, you're suddenly doing a fucking spin move. You're like, no, I'm good.
Right. The worst is the pelvis thing. You know, like, I think if you lead with your arm... Like, I mean, if someone doesn't want to be hugged, do not hug. But if you are going to hug someone in a professional setting, stick your ass out as far as it can go. Yeah, and literally just like, I don't know, like tap them on their shoulders, basically.
Hey, like, leave enough room for the Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Thank you. That's the whole Holy Trinity should be able to fit in between.
Just kind of do a solid fist, like, yeah, right on.
I like that.
I don't even have to contact, like, good for you, finger guns, whatever you got to do.
That's good.
But anyway, yes, we just wanted to keep that on people's radars. Also, he said he had a modeling agency. Like, that is some real fucking Little League creep game. He's like, you know, I have a modeling agency.
But is he untouchable? You know, maybe that's why people feel like his stories don't matter.
No,
like,
too many people depend on him being in office, which is why the things can't come tumbling down. It's easy to bring down Harvey Weinstein when his stock is falling, when his star is degrading.
Right.
You know what I mean?
After they built rape into his contract, basically. Like, you only get 4 a year, Harvey, now you're abusing it.
Yeah, well, like, and now he's facing RICO charges, like the fucking crime family.
Ugh. The thing that gives me hope about with the Trump investigations and, like, the sexual harassment allegations is that I was listening to Barbara Walters on a separate podcast. I'm not going to name it. He's an angry Jewish comedian. First name starts with M, last name starts with M. I'm not going to say who it is, though. There's another I'm not going to say it. I'm sorry. I'm not going to advertise. But she was on his podcast and was saying how when she was a beat reporter during Watergate.
You can say Mark Maron.
Oh, no. Sorry. All right. Well, you said it, not me. So, she was on his podcast and she was talking about how it took, the news, like, reporters ended up, like, finding out about, you know, Watergate and, like, all the shady shit that Nixon was doing about 2 years before the news broke. But when you come out with those allegations, it needs to be airtight. So I think as much as patients suck because people are being hurt right now, like, so it's affecting so many people's lives negatively, like, the patience of it is that we may not see what's happening, but, like, Nixon took a year and a half, 2 years. So, like, obviously he should be shouldn't have been in there in the first place.
You have
but,
to get your receipts together. Before
there is
before
hope
you
there.
Make a return.
Right. Well put. True.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with Lloyd Wouch. See you in a second. And we are back. So, guys, it's Friday. Obviously, we gotta go through the Bloids. It's time for Bloid Watch. And it looks like a lot of the covers, you know, obviously it's print, so you can't be on top of everything. A lot of them are talking about Matt Lauer. We already did that. but we want to go deeper in and see what is going on in these tabloids because, you know, sometimes they predict celebrity deaths and sometimes it's just outright insanity. Lacey, what do you have over, what were you reading?
So I'm still stuck on, you know, Black Princess. Y'all can call her a duchess if you want, but she will be Black Princess to every black woman forever. Meghan Markle.
The one thing I want to say, isn't she going to be the Duchess of Sussex?
Yeah, whatever.
Which is like
Black Princess.
Sus sex. I feel like they shaded her with that one. Anyway, but go on. Because also yesterday, Edgar had a hot take on Meghan Markle, how she is not the answer to all your dreams. Like, your prince is going to come for you and marry you and sweep you away. But I know you don't believe that. I've seen your Instagram stories.
Edgar and I are friends, and he can just catch these hands on that one because I'll tell you this. As soon as Meghan Markle was engaged, I was like, oh, don't talk to me if you're not in a royal family. Okay? You need to be a duke. You can be a duke. You can be a knight. You can be an earl. You can be a baron. Mm-hmm. But you need to be in the royal family because that's where my standards is
what
at.
What if you
now
sell Red Baron pizza?
That's close enough.
Okay, I like that. Okay,
like
good.
The pizza, that's an empire, so yeah, we could do that. I'll be sure the queen of the Baron pizza, bitch. Put me on the box, okay?
Baroness.
So what do you got in the, what are they saying? Are they talking crazy about Meghan Markle or what?
Of course they are. I mean, you know, if you go into the bowels of the internet, there's so many, like, racist trolls. Like, right. I saw one where there was, like, this is how Prince Harry proposed to Meghan Markle, and they opened up a ring box, and it was a piece of chicken inside.
I was about to say, fried chicken.
That mm-hmm shit was funny. Like, racism hurts, but that was hilarious. I was like, kudos. Now, if they had made it a flat chicken wing, and that would have been
oh,
lit.
Oh, wow. Yes. Lemon pepper?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Wait. Hey, there she is.
But it was a nugget, but I was like, this is still good effort. I appreciate it, y'all. But now they're talking about basically how the royal family is also participating in digging up Meghan Markle's dirt. The queen is supposedly in this National Enquirer, supposedly she's collecting a secret dirt dossier that she will be keeping to manipulate Meghan and keep her in line at all times.
Wow, so to keep a black woman in line at all times. Wow, interesting.
Try it. Try it. Kappa Kappa Gamma is the sorority that Meghan Markle was in when she was at Northwestern in Chicago. And basically a lot of her sisters. Hard R.
Right, right.
they are coming out to say that she was a hot mess in college.
Oh, hell no.
Real rambunctious.
Yeah, who wasn't?
Yeah, you're in college in a fucking sorority. What?
Everyone's an alcoholic. Let it go.
She's not a theology student in a seminary.
Exactly. And I know for a fact that a lot of news outlets are attacking Meghan's friends and harassing her friends, because I have a friend who is a friend of hers, and they are hitting her up with money trying to get these stories. So it is true that they're trying to go after her. But it's like, what are you going to do? If you're a 36-year-old woman, we all got skeletons. There are people I will have to kill when my career blows up.
Uh-huh. I have an actual skeleton in the trunk of my car.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yes. I'm just going to come out with that. Yeah, it's human. It's human.
Absolutely.
So but it's an artifact. It's from it's not technically human. It's Homo erectus. So
sure.
It's before we became Homo sapiens, but.
Well, let's not put labels on,
on the skeleton. We're all human, right?
Thank you.
Exactly. But if there's anybody who can hold it together, I believe it's a black woman, because we know how to scheme and scam and keep our shit cute and clean. Mm-hmm. Look at the Obama daughters. Like, they're just now getting Malia smoking a little weed in a state where it's legal after she was in office all these years. They didn't catch her ass doing shit.
Incredible.
Bush twins were doing coke and sticking their head out of limousines as soon as they pulled up in that bitch.
Yeah.
Like, black women can hide their dirt better than anybody else, okay? That's how we walking around with fake hair you never knew wasn't ours.
Thank you.
Some of them I can't tell, though.
Okay, but Miles, that's a train dive, all right? You know how many times I showed up someplace and people were like, oh my God, your hair grew? I was like, yes, but my hair grew 12 inches overnight.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right. I just threw in a Virgin Remy 26 before I came in here.
Listen, she gonna hide them secrets like a good weave.
Also, one thing, what else I want to flag in here? I want to talk about, just because Kim Kardashian is ever present in tabloids, apparently there is a lot of drama going on with her and her surrogate and Kanye and not knowing what's going on. I just want to read some of the best parts of this thing. Apparently, quote, they're at loggerheads, they're talking about Kim and Kanye, about the birth being filmed for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, explains a source. Kanye's made it clear that cameras are banned from delivery room and doesn't even want Kim's mom to be there, but Kim's insisting that Chris be by her side. So it looks like, again, Kanye is like, I'm trying to be a normal person where someone can just give birth and it not be a Super Bowl halftime special. And then also, Kim, she's been crying on a routine basis because this baby just feels so physically distant from her. You don't say.
Yeah.
That's the thing with surrogacy.
It would appear that way.
Yes.
That it's physically distant.
Also, another thing that is really funny is that Kim, like, apparently is really jealous of the woman. That's why she didn't invite her to the baby shower, because she didn't want her to be the center of attention. And the surrogate doesn't even want Kim to be in the delivery room because there is so much tension. She doesn't want the surrogate to even hold her daughter after she gives birth. Kim is extremely concerned that she won't bond with the baby because she didn't carry it. They just don't get along, it seems. But who knows?
Unbelievable.
Whatever. There are real things going on, like this. Cardi B wants a one-of-a-kind party. So if you guys don't know Cardi B, Queen Cardi from the Bronx, Bodak Yellow was a song this summer. We all know this.
Yes.
She is engaged to Offset of the Migos, or Migos, sorry, not the Migos. I used to say that as a joke, and people want to correct me. But so she's having a wedding. And the dress code is very particular. She, quote, wants all of the guests to wear red and all of her bridesmaids to wear suits instead of dresses. What you don't know about Cardi B is she's actually down with Bloods.
Yeah, so, she is the blood gang.
She is – it's serious. So that's a fucking swoop wedding if you've ever seen it. I mean, if everybody is wearing red.
Cardi B.
It's literally the red wedding. And let's see what else. There's going to be a stage with a stripper pole and money guns filled with bills on the tables to make it rain on the dancers she has hired. Cardi's wedding will go down in history. I would love to see this wedding.
I would want to go to this wedding so badly.
I hope Mona Scott comes to Cardi and says, you're not having this wedding without me producing it.
So because, that we can all see.
Yes. Because
the wedding has an executive producer. Oh, yeah. Like a line producer.
I mean, Mona Scott made Cardi B. So you feel like Mona Scott has to have first refusal on televising this.
Absolutely.
I can't imagine this not being televised. If Gucci Mane has a televised wedding, Offset and Cardi B have to have a television wedding. Before we go, I just want to, you know, end this week, this season. It's been a great season. This is season 9. I mean, we're about to go into season 10. This is the cliffhanger episode. And this has been, you know, I felt like we've talked a lot about a lot of heavy stuff this week. But I think it's good just to remind people that there's good news out there. They're good people. They're real stories worth telling that aren't just about people getting violated or racism or, you know, a wealth redistribution or the numerous topics we talk about. Fucking climate change. It can feel very overwhelming. So I just want to bring this up. And if you can, Nick, please cue some sentimental music. Thank you. Yes. So, yes, we're living in a very tough time right now. But I want to let people know about a very special relationship between a man named Spencer Slayon, a 22-year-old rapper and producer from East Harlem, and a woman, 81-year-old Rosalind Gutman, who lives in a retirement facility in Palm Beach, Florida. So one day, I guess, the young rapper Spencer was hanging out with his friends, and they're going around the room talking about who their closest friends were. And when it was his turn, he said, "My best friend is an 81-year-old white woman who lives in a retirement home in Florida." And that was a little bit of an exaggeration. But apparently these two became friends while playing the game Words with Friends. The great unifier, we all know. And they were just randomly matched up. And at first they were just going hard at each other, really just trying to win at Words with Friends. And then they started using the chat function in Words with Friends. And the conversation started to actually become more personal. They were talking about their lives, their hopes, their dreams. And apparently Spencer was living in Silver Spring, Maryland. Shout out to Silver Spring, Maryland. And he really wanted to go to New York to chase his dreams. And this really kind woman just told him, you know, you got to go out there and grab what you want and really go for it, because that's what dreams are made of. So eventually he did, and he was doing really well. And sadly, he had to stop using the game because life and things like that got caught up, and he wasn't able to attend to this relationship. But then Amy Butler, who is the mother of one of his friends, overheard him talking about his online friend. And so this woman, Ms. Butler, she's a senior minister at a church in Manhattan, and she wanted to tell the story of their friendship. So she asked if she could get in touch with Ms. Gutman, and she got him to fly down to Florida to reunite them. And these photos, we will post them. You have to look at these, because this is the most heartwarming thing of an unlikely couple. They played 300 plus games of Words with Friends together. That's them first meeting.
Oh, I love that.
Let me turn this up. Finally. That's their embrace. Look at that embrace.
They're so happy to see each other. They look
like,
awesome.
That's a real ass hug.
They look like she was locked down for the whole time, and he was waiting for her to get out, and she finally got out. He's like, "I was waiting for you." And look at them. He looks so happy, and she looks great, and they're just friends. So unlikely friendship. We hear about so much racial tension. This is a story of an 81-year-old white woman and a young black man coming together through Words with Friends, and they look, I'm like, this is not bullshit. Like, these people look like they really shared some time together.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminds me of, I think every person of color has a special white woman, older white woman in their lives.
Oh, for sure. I got my special mine, old white lady.
Mine was Mrs. Giordano. She was a religion teacher at a high school I went to, and she was so supportive of me being a class clown. Like, she didn't fucking, she, like, other teachers would be like, "You got to get the fuck out of my room." She would, like, kind of fuck with me. Like, be like, oh, she would shoot back and kind of joke with me. And then afterwards be like, "Hey, I know you're funny. I get that you're funny. But, like, can you not distract the class?" She did it so well that I had so much respect for her. And she was such a nurturer. So, you know, we know the sensation of the special old white woman. Lacey, who do you give out your special white woman award to?
Oh, shout out to Miss Nolan. Definitely my special older white woman. She was my English teacher. And she always knew that I was a star. And I remember she got me tickets to go see Maya Angelou with my mom, like, she got me tickets for her. She was like, oh, you should really go. You should see her live. And I was so glad I did, because that was the only time I've ever seen Maya Angelou live before she passed away. Wow. I was like, she's a queen. I still meet with her when I go back home to Texas. And but that Words With Friends, I didn't know you could talk on there. Shit.
Yeah, well, usually people...
I'm about to get on Words With Friends. Like, so what's your life like? You spell real well, bro.
You from Westchester?
We should meet up. You a lawyer? What you doing with Words? Come on now.
And Blake, who's your special white woman?
I would have to say my mom.
Oh, wow. You're lucky.
I have a young mom. If she heard that, she'll run me over with a car. But yeah, she my actual old white woman I had. This is very funny. I am a white person, but edit that out. No, I'm kidding.
No, we will.
Please edit that out.
Everybody on this podcast is a person of color right now.
Right,
just for
right. Definitely don't put that out there. There's a old this is my old Florida light. Is that where she was from?
Yeah, Florida? Florida.
I had an old Florida white lady who was like, and just like in her 80s, still teaching elementary school, had stuffed animals all around the room and was a Tampa Bay Bucks fan and an Eagles fan, which, and then we played them in the NFC Championship game and, Eagles lost, but she was very, very gracious. So I'm like, oh, that's how you handle it as a sports fan. You don't rub it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was no Maya Angelou story. Yeah.
I'm gonna have to say that wasn't as touching as the other
one. I'm gonna say that was a hard act to follow.
Of course, amazing. So with that, Blake, thank you so much for coming through.
So much
Blake.
Fun. Thank you.
Where
guys.
Can people find you?
At Blake Wexler on all the social medias, and then my album, The Blake Album, is wherever you download that.
Album? Drop the Blake album.
The Blake album.
Blake. That's exactly the best comedian alive. Acts about me. Beautiful. Lacey Mosley, where can people find you?
This is Jack O'Brien.
There you go.
That's our worst attempt at Jack O'Brien's voice.
You can find me on Instagram at DivaLaci. That's Diva Lacey. Come to Trap Prov. That is my lovely ghetto show that I do at UCB Franklin. The next one's December 30th at midnight.
Midnight.
Nice. We get ratchet, live band, live DJ, live black people. Yes.
And people party in the theater.
Oh,
too.
People party in the theater. We cannot advertise.
I don't know.
What
I won't say anything,
do?
But I've heard that this is the show to go to.
Oh, it is Liddy. It's very Liddy function.
Liddy. It is lit AF. Yes, thank you. And for me, if you guys want to find me, if you even care, you can find me at Miles of Gray on Instagram and Twitter. You can find the show at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page. Just search The Daily Zeitgeist on Facebook. And we also got a website. That's how you know we're legit.
Professional.
DailyZeitgeist.com, where we have, you know, we got little links to our sources and what we like to call the footnotes. Anna didn't back me on that one. That was a lonely footnotes this time. And check out that we put all the information that we're talking about so you know that we are not just lying to you. And Lacey, since you are the guest host today, why don't you give us, give the people a song that we can go out to?
Ooh, let's throw it back to something sexy for the weekend. Kay Trinada does a remix of Sock It To Me by Missy Elliott. Ooh. That is fire.
That's where the Brat too was on that song too.
Yes,
great song.
Turn it on with your boo.
And with that, guys, ride this out to the weekend, and we will see you Monday.
Ooh, sock it to me like you want to. Ooh, I could take it like a pro, you know. Do a long throw with the backstroke. My hormones jumping like a disco. I be popping ish like some Crisco. And all you gotta say is miss it go. And when you say it go, I won't move slow.
Sock it to me.
Ooh, I sock it to me like you tell me to. I can take it like a pro, you know. Do a long throw with the backstroke. My hormones jumping like a disco. I be popping mess like some Crisco. All you gotta say is miss it go. And when you say it go, I won't move slow.
No. We'll be right back.
decided to go. Swing it in my direction. I'll be out of control. Let's take it to perfection. Just you and me. Let's see if you can bring the nasty out of me. Suck it, ooh, ah. Suck it to me like you tell me to, ooh. I can take it like a pro, you know. You alone throw with the backstroke. My hormones jump.